There's news that hackers got into the social security numbers and card data of 2 in 5 of all Americans in what is emerging as the Great Credit Security Breach. For Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio from the BBC studios in London this week. The credit reporting firm Equifax has revealed hackers got access to the data of 143 million customers in the U.S., 44% of the population. Yes, Social Security numbers and more. Molly Wood, the host of our companion program Marketplace Tech, is following this.
What makes credit agency hacks so dangerous is that these companies have everything you need to put together essentially the perfect identity theft package. Social security numbers, address records, credit card numbers, birth dates, even driver's license numbers. This is the kind of information that you would actually need to verify your real identity if you were to call your bank and report identity theft. And the other thing about credit agencies is they just keep getting hit. Equifax itself has a subsidiary that does HR, payroll, and tax services that got hacked last year. In 2015, Experian gave up 15 million T-Mobile customer records, and all 3 credit bureaus were hacked in 2013.
My colleague Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech, Equifax stock is down 15% in pre-market trading. Now, there are also questions today after it became apparent that senior executives sold some of their Equifax stocks soon after the company learned of the massive hack. Equifax is quoted as saying the executives didn't know at the time that they triggered the sale. Other markets, the 100-share index down the street here in London, is up 0.6%, but stock index futures for the U.S. are down. S&P and Dow futures down 0.3%. Interest rates in America, low. The 10-year yield down at 2.03%. Now, was Karl Marx wrong? I'm just back from the English city of Coventry, where economics and class do not explain everything. That center of industry has rich connections to Europe, yet the region was among the many here that voted to leave the European Union. With the EU divorce negotiations entering a critical phase, I wondered if the reasons why they voted to pull out are now any clearer.
Land Rover continues to go above and beyond.
Is that a Coventry export hanging on your rear bumper right now? Many a Land Rover or Jaguar is built around here, an hour north of London. They used to make Jags in this industrial shed. It's now Amtico International's thriving factory that makes designer plastic floor tiles. Amtico exports to Europe and beyond. Its CEO, Jonathan Duck, was and is now very much a leave the EU guy.
One of the biggest benefits that we've experienced has actually been the depreciation of sterling.
Britain's currency, the pound, has fallen 16% to the euro since the big vote, and Mr. Duck's tiles have become cheaper and therefore easier to sell abroad.
That has made us so much more competitive in Europe and has actually really helped this business.
For Mr. Duck, this isn't all just a shrewd currency play. He thinks leaving stops British officials from using the old Brussels won't let me excuse when businesses ask for lower taxes or less regulation. But for this, Britain needs an elegant exit from the EU, one where it ends up with good access for its goods, versus some ugly Dunkirk on the deadline day a year and a half from now. Here's a guy who works over at the car factory.
Do we want to turn our country just into a tourist destination where people fly in, go to Stratford-upon-Avon, go down to Buckingham Palace, spend a little bit of money, and we all end up working in hotels because we're not competitive on exporting manufactured goods anymore?
Mick Graham manages worker and union relations at Land Rover. He speaks for himself here, not his company, but he says the payroll at his place has grown from 12,000 a dozen years ago to 42,000.
We've increased our employment hugely. And much of that has been the success of us exporting our products, a lot of which are to the east of the EU.
Yonder is phase one of the new Friargate retail and office complex. It's near the Coventry train station, and the idea is to use it as a magnet to haul some of that sweet London business and retail action this away. The EU has sent about $190 million in this direction in recent years, yet money can't buy you love. In the referendum, Coventry residents voted 55-45 to leave. Jonathan Browning is chair of the Coventry and Warwickshire Local Enterprise Partnership.
I think the Brexit journey is a journey with an unclear roadmap and an unclear destination. And the electorate voted on a pretty poorly, loosely defined concept of what exit from the European Union would mean, reclaiming our borders.
Also with us is Ajay Desai, trade director with the Regional Chamber of Commerce. He holds regular Brexit breakfasts where companies come bearing anxious questions, like...
One which springs to mind is not far from here in Stratford, we have a butterfly farm which exports a large number of pupa to Europe, £1 million worth. And should there be delays, their product would literally hatch and fly away.
It's not just butterflies, Land Rovers, Jags, and flooring. There's computer game design here, higher ed, business consulting. For younger people who have yet to enter the workforce, who knows? David Shipman teaches high schoolers here in the Midlands. He respects the will of the voters, even if it was the will of the older ones.
It is frustrating when you look at the demographic that the next generation, who primarily voted to remain within the union, are going to have to deal with the outcomes of being separate from it. But we will continue to prepare our students for global life.
So they can prosper. The trick is to keep negotiations with Europe from crashing. An amicable, orderly withdrawal could preserve access to Europe and might lead to a closer, lower tariff deals with the U.S., China, Japan. But you heard my conditionals, the words could and might. In London with me this week, senior producer Nicole Childers, producer Justin Ho, Katie Long, and engineer Daniel Ramirez. In Los Angeles, Daniel Shin and Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.